I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Why were you fired from your position by President Poroshenko?
I have said repeatedly in my previous interviews that Poroshenko fired me at the insistence of the then Vice President Biden because I was investigating Burisma.
So did President Poroshenko tell you that? That he wanted you to stay on the job, but there was pressure from Vice President Biden?
You understood me correctly. This is how it was. There were no complaints whatsoever, no problems with how I was performing at my job. But because pressure was repeatedly put on President Poroshenko, that is what ended up in him firing me.
Well, there was the interview, that very interesting unveiling of different information as Brian Kilmeade was introducing and doing an interview with Victor Shokin. Victor Shokin was a prosecutor looking into Burisma. The same Victor Shokin that Joe Biden, as vice president, went to visit Ukraine and gave word to them. That guy's investigating Burisma. Of course, nothing was said then about that Hunter Biden was on the board and getting money from them. And so what they began to do is look for ways to get rid of Shokin. Now, would information he uncovered actually have led to any ill doing on behalf of Hunter Biden? We don't know. We don't know because it was not allowed to continue. And the reason it was not allowed to continue is because you had Vice President Biden at that time say, if you don't get rid of that guy, if you don't get rid of him, you're not going to get the $1 billion owed to you by the U.S. that Obama said you could have. And I have the authority to withhold it from you. And my plane leaves in 6 hours. And if you don't get rid of him in that time, I'm leaving. There'll be no $1 billion for you. Well, of course, immediately they started saying, you can't do that. That's not right. And he said, the hell I can't. You call Barack Obama, he will tell you I have the authority. And in fact, he did. But what happened was, as they began to look for a way to make something better, to appease Joe Biden, to appease Hunter Biden, and to get the money, because that's what it was all about, to get the money. The idea was, we're going to get rid of Victor Shokin. Now, Victor Shokin, we're going to break this interview down for you in various parts. Victor Shokin was at that time apparently simply doing his job. Now, I'm going to tell you before we wrap up this segment, you're going to hear complaints from various legitimate, and I say legitimate, news sources that say Victor Shokin was actually more corrupt than what he was trying to investigate at Burisma. Now, whether or not he's trying to hide someone else, we don't know. And I'm not going to buy the stories that have come from groups like the Wall Street Journal, and I would consider that generally a legitimate source. And then, of course, they have the Washington Post and Washington Times. I'll let you make your own arrangement on that or your decision. But we've got a lot to unpack just in this segment, and we've got more coming up in the second hour. Thank you for joining us. This is August 28, 2023. This is the first hour of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA. You asked for 2 hours, you got it. We're glad to do it for you. And, of course, while the program is airing on Newstalk STL, we're also, at that time, streaming at Newstalk STL, Facebook, and Twitter. Larry Connors USA, Facebook, and Twitter. I know some of you tend to prefer my page. We don't care. We're glad to have you either way. And, of course, we're on Rumble. Glad to have you in either way. And if by chance you miss watching the live presentation, you can always pull up the podcast of the video and the audio at LarryConnorsUSA.com. So easy to find. And I also encourage you to continue to support our sponsors. They're making this show what it is. They're keeping us on the air. Your demand for more means more sponsors want to get on board. So we're going to need to make more room for more sponsors. And in fact, I'll add right now, if you've got a business, doesn't have to be a major corporation. If you got a good business and you want to build it, you can write me at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. We will get back with you with a package that will make sure you get a chance to be part of this patriotic program. And I will add, and I'm going to pat myself on the back, Quentin and I, because we produce and create, this is not dissing any other program, but a very comprehensive program that is unheard of. I mean, and Quentin knows how much detail goes into it. If not for him, there were a lot of things that fall through the crack. I've been working on this program since last Friday when we were at the other one. And a lot of stuff I put together, I had to dump today because of all this latest stuff about Victor Shokin. All right, let's go back to the interview once again. Brian Kilmeade, and he asked Shokin, he said, so Biden comes in, and Bigfoots, I mean Bigfoots, your investigation, and telling your boss, you got to get Shokin off. He cannot stay. He's got to go. And so then the question that we have Brian Kilmeade raising a question to Shokin, in other words, did you see at that point that you were going to be the fall guy? What was your reaction?
What are your thoughts when you saw the tape of Vice President Biden speaking to the Council on Foreign Relations saying you had 6 hours to fire you, or you're not going to get the $1 billion.
Not only the position of President Poroshenko, the office of President Poroshenko was humiliated, but the entire country of Ukraine was humiliated. And I developed a very firm understanding of the fact that the Vice President was only acting in his own interests. He, generally speaking, handled Ukraine like it was his own backyard. He would put people that were suitable for him. He would arrange for them to be put in certain positions.
Why were you looking into Burisma?
The reason I oversaw the Burisma case was because I was the prosecutor general. Burisma was an ordinary case. There wasn't anything particularly different about it. The reason that I was handling it was because it deserved a special mention. It was on a list of cases to merit special attention because Hunter Biden was involved with Burisma, and of course his father, the Vice President Biden at the time, oversaw Ukraine affairs for the White House.
And that made suddenly Burisma come to the top. Now, you know, sometimes you hear the story, cream rises to the top. There are times other stuff rises to the top. And Shokin wasn't sure what he was dealing with, but it didn't look like cream, didn't smell like cream, and it looked like something coming up out of the sewer. But he was just doing his J-O-B, according to him. Now, I'm not taking sides here. I don't know his full story. But we do know what happened because Joe Biden dared, after he left the vice presidency, as you heard Brian Kilmeade, and we played it for you innumerable times, he dared appear before the Foreign Relations Council and say, by God, I told him, you better fire that guy. If you don't, I'm leaving here, my plane, and you're not going to get your $1 billion. And their response in Ukraine was, you can't do that. You don't have the authority. He said, you think not? Call the White House. Call Obama. He'll tell you. Call Barack. They realize he's serious. Now, what would you do if you were a country and you're expecting $1 billion for the U.S. and the vice president, as he was then, is in your face saying, I've been given the authority to write and cut the check for you, but I'm not likely to do that because you're looking into Burisma where my son is on the board. You want your money? You simply get rid of the prosecutor. That's not a hard decision. Victor Shokin says, and again, this was an exclusive interview he did with Fox News, Brian Kilmeade, and you're going to hear the interpreter kind of help carrying the story forward because he doesn't speak English, but Victor Shokin is saying, I had every reason to believe that Burisma was corrupt on many levels before Biden got involved.
I have no doubt that there were illegal activities engaged in by Burisma. As a matter of fact, the criminal case had been started before me. It continued to expand. And Zlochevsky, who at the time held the post of minister and was the founder and CEO of Burisma, started bringing in people who could provide protection for him. Hunter Biden was among them. And the corruption network expanded as a result. So, yes, to answer your question, there's no doubt in my mind that Burisma was engaged in illegal activities.
Devin Archer said you were a threat to Burisma. Do you agree?
Yes. Yes, I agree.
Why? Because you were going to find out what they were up to?
Because he understood, and so did Vice President Biden, that had I continued to oversee the Burisma investigation, we would have found the facts about the corrupt activities that they were engaging in that included both Hunter Biden and Devin Archer and others.
Now, again, those are the words. See, I always want to make sure you understand the facts. That's a basic fabric I have for decades as a news anchor. I'm going to give you the facts. I don't want you to jump to conclusion that Victor Shokin is telling you the 100% true. It might be partially true. It could be 100% true. He could be a flat-out liar protecting his own skin. He's got a book out. He's pushing it. But I think many of us. And here's the nail in the coffin for Joe Biden. He is so stupid that he runs out and tells the foreign counsel, hey, we got a problem here. We got to get rid of this guy. And I said, get him out of here. So Shokin's next question is, what illegal deals were in Biden's involved in?
I can say that Burisma illegally produced, sold, and utilized gas. Zlochevsky, the founder of Burisma, recently made a plea deal with the prosecution in a case where he was accused of giving a $6 million bribe, which is the kind of money that you don't just give away if you're not really engaging in anything illegal. So his plea deal was to cover up a $6 million bribe that he gave earlier.
Do you believe that Joe Biden or Hunter Biden got bribes?
I do not want to deal in unproven facts, but my firm personal conviction is that, yes, this was the case. They were being bribed. The fact that Joe Biden gave away $1 billion in U.S. Money in exchange for my dismissal, my firing, isn't that alone a case of corruption?
Does raise that good question, doesn't it? And to that extent, the Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, Washington Times are all suggesting that actually Shokin was corrupt. Shokin says, I'd like some proof if you're going to make that claim.
I would appreciate if any of these highly respectable publications could come up with a single instance or a single example of my personal corruption or any offense whatsoever allegedly committed by me.
Why don't you sue then? Why don't you sue these publications for defamation?
I would gladly do that, but suing somebody costs money, and I simply don't have the money to do that because I'm a retiree and my monthly pension constitutes the equivalent of $800.
Has this damaged America's reputation in Ukraine?
There is no doubt that his actions have damaged the U.S. reputation in Ukraine. It is public knowledge. Everybody knows that it was because of Joe Biden's actions that Russia was able to claim Crimea without firing a single shot, which of course eventually led to a full-scale war that is currently underway.
And that is a fact, undeniable. Let's turn the page. California, New York State, state of Illinois, various cities of those states claim to be sanctuaries for illegals. Not so fast.
Now to another developing story right now after a busload of migrants was dropped off in Los Angeles after it was driven from the state of Texas. And tonight the governor of Texas is taking credit for that busing, blaming this on President Biden's immigration policy.
The migrants were dropped off at LA's Union Station in downtown LA. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass said it was abhorrent for an elected official to use human beings as political pawns. Governor Abbott says since last spring, Texas has sent more than 21,000 migrants to cities across the country.
The Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights brought the migrants to a church in the Chinatown portion of LA. The group says that at least 40 of these migrants, including kids, traveled more than 23 hours before they got there.
Is that supposed to make you feel, oh my God, those kids traveled that long on an air-conditioned bus where they had food and water compared to marching under orders of cartel? Hundreds of miles, and now they're giving bus transportation with food and water. And, of course, you've got the L.A. City Council voted to officially become a sanctuary city in the sanctuary state of California 2 months ago. Now L.A. Mayor Bass says, this isn't right. We have not extended an invitation for people to come. This is a political act by Texas. You said you were a sanctuary.
She tells me not once has her office been officially notified by Texas Governor Greg Abbott, and she does not appreciate it.
The ninth one, is there a limit to the hospitality?
Well, it's not a question of hospitality. It's a question of if people arrive in your city, what are you going to do? You're going to take care of them. Los Angeles has not extended an invitation asking for people to come. This is a political act. If it was not a political act, then the governor would try to do this in coordination with the city. And that is not happening. That has never happened.
It has never been anything but a political act for the leftists, which is okay as long as you hit the red states along the border. But now it's in their backyard, and suddenly this is a political act. Coming up, we've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. For one thing, Biden is moving forward to consider mask mandates. You might have to be getting a shot. Are you going to do this? And more concerns about what happened in Maui. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with a Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no. I'm a rocket man. Rocket man.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
All right, so I was telling you about this the other day, and I got to tell you, it is escalating, and that's to be expected. We're getting closer to the election. Schools are going back into session. And those who want to control U.S. population are deciding, yep, this is the time we began to tighten the cinches. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the fact that there have been some increasing outbreaks of COVID. I'm not going to deny that. I haven't seen any death counts because I'm not sure they really exist that they could be specifically tied to COVID. They know this time around we're a little smarter. We're a little smarter because just because someone dies and they might have COVID-like symptoms, you don't automatically slap a label, COVID death, which they were doing in the beginning. Remember? And let me take a moment, because we're going to talk about Maui here in a few moments, and how that disaster could have probably been avoided, at least the number of casualties. But you know who's heading up the Maui federal FEMA project? The same woman who got so much credit, that's why she's getting given this assignment. She apparently is singled out as the FEMA administrator, a woman. See, they're checking their boxes again. And she might be qualified. I'm not going to say a woman cannot be qualified. Listen, I raised two daughters. I don't think any woman should be dismissed simply because of her gender. I don't think they should be dismissed simply because of their sexual preference. And I will even go so far to say they shouldn't be dismissed on their ability of knowledge and stuff simply because they might be transgender, pan, or whatever else the hell they want to be. That doesn't mean necessarily that they're not capable of doing a particular job. It does mean many of them are going to be propagandists. You got to keep that in mind. But the very woman that is heading up FEMA for Hawaii, I watched an interview with her the other day. She sounded like she was a tourist. Oh, it's devastating. I've never seen anything like that. And cars lined up. And the reporter questioning her, at least the one I saw, didn't ask, well, what is your responsibility? What are you doing about it? What is your job to step in and make things happen? I didn't see that. They were treating her like she was just another tourist to the island and viewing what she saw. The FEMA administrator is meant to come in and take control. You recall during Katrina, Ron Brown was the FEMA director. George Bush made a remark once he did land and go to take a look at it. He originally did a flyover. And as I've told you, I can't stress enough to you, the fact that the president shows up at the disaster does not really change anything. There's suddenly no sudden manna from heaven that takes care of everything. There's not even manna from the government. There's more red tape and stuff people want to jump through. But it gives you the sense he cares. Contrary to Biden ignoring Palestine, East Ohio. East Palestine and Ohio and the train wreck. Ignored them. Donald Trump rode in with truckloads of water and supplies. And of course, on the way to Hawaii, Biden stopped in his friend Tom Steyer, a multi-billionaire, who had one time run for president as an independent candidate. And he spent a few days there to vacation because, you know, the flight from New York to Colorado. That's exhausting. It is if you're in coach. But if you're on Air Force One, you got a bed you can lay down in. Give me a break. And so he spends a vacation a few days there. Then they go to California because the storm has moved through there, and they had torrential rain and things of that nature. And he takes time to address their disaster before he goes to Hawaii still. There were no major death counts reported out of that storm that hit California, Nevada, and Arizona, the flash flooding. Why would he stop at California instead of go right to Hawaii, where there's a real disaster and probably going to be the largest death count from a wildfire in U.S. history? And they don't have all the bodies. They may never find all of them. May never be able to identify them. We don't know how many went into the ocean to escape the flames and never came out. It's a very simple thing. California has multiple electoral votes. Blue Hawaii is a blue state. They also have two senators, as every state gets to have. But they do not have the electoral votes in the Electoral College that California does. He could lose Hawaii, it's not going to affect him. But California. So he spends time in California going over, what a terrible tragedy, blah, 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 blah. Then he goes to Hawaii and stands there and dares compare a kitchen fire in his home to, I can relate to you. All right, I got sidetracked. I'll admit I do, because there's so many tentacles to go down and deal with this guy. And I want you to make a note here. I'm not attacking him because he's a Democrat. I'm not attacking him because he's old and maybe suffering dementia and needs help, really. I'm attacking him because he is clueless on running this country. But he recognizes a crisis that they can utilize. And that's been the mantra of the Democrat Party ever since Leon Panetta served under Barack Obama. Never let a good crisis go to waste. And we have another crisis coming. We're already getting reports that there are additional vaccines being developed by Pfizer and Moderna designed to target the variants that have popped up just in time for the general election. Isn't that interesting? So now Biden has suggested he might mandate a COVID booster for all Americans this fall. All Americans. Doesn't make any difference. You're suffering, you're young, you're old, whatever, you're going to have it. And you know what that gets back to? If he does that, they're not going to let you get on an airplane. They're not going to let you in certain buildings. They are already. I watched the other day, Kaiser Permanente in California. That hospital system began to immediately impose mask requirements. And others began to follow. And then in New York State. So at two opposite ends of the country, they're putting in effect these mandates. And then you got in Atlanta, another blue city area, a small college, William Morris College, has decided you must wear a mask to come to school. And schools are beginning to look at, you're going to have a vaccine. Over the weekend, the president told reporters he plans to ask Congress for additional funds to develop a new vaccine, adding he might force everyone to take it, whether they receive the initial. Have you had the initial vaccine? I have. I did it only, and I'm not anti-vax. I think it can be beneficial for some people. I got it only because we had a younger relative die of supposedly COVID, and my daughters insisted, Papa, you got to get this vaccine. Not going to lie to my girls and not do it, so I agreed to do it. I still got COVID. I had to go get a booster. I still got COVID. I got COVID again. I'm not sure that I wasn't battling it some last week. But it's hard to tell. Is it COVID? Is it flu? Sinuses? But they're not going to care because right now, while requesting $40 million from Congress for Ukraine, U.S. disaster funds, and funds to help slow the flow of fentanyl in the U.S., but that does not include closing the border. He's also did not include in that particular bill any money for COVID-19. But they're saying we will use $1.4 billion of taxpayer money to develop new drugs and shots against the virus. In 2012, the Biden administration requested more than $9 billion to stop the spread of COVID. Congressional investigators refused, thank God, lawmakers. But once again, in Hollywood, you got Lionsgate, other entities beginning to shut down if you're not wearing a mask. Pretty soon, COVID shots will be required. It's fear-mongering. Make no mistake about it. They want to scare you. And the woman that's heading up FEMA over in Maui, getting all the praise for New York. You remember how many in New York died because they were stuck in the nursing homes where folks were more vulnerable to get COVID and die? We're going to deal with her before we wrap up. But coming up, Putin says, "Nyet, nyet, I had nothing to do with that crash." Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website, see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, Larry.HomesteadFinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, Larry.HomesteadFinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light.
Roxanne. This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Let me add a couple more notes regarding the push to make everybody get vaccines and masks and so forth again. I want to share this with you because you will know the source on it. And he put it up on Twitter, so it's nothing that, you know, is not available for everyone to see. John G. Bruner, of course, who was running for Missouri governor one time, he was talking about, again, this effort to remask everyone. And his basic attitude and statement was, and I mean, there were a lot more statements he had following behind that, but basically pointing out, are we really going to do this again? Are we just going to simply fall in line? And I'm paraphrasing here a little bit. I'm looking at all these comments that have been coming out because of that, not only in response to him, but I think he's raising an excellent point. I mean, do we really want to do this once again? And especially as I pointed out to him that there are already numerous sources, a group inside our nation of epidemiologists that said, we don't need to do this again. Rand Paul is also quoted as, Cleveland Clinic study of 52,000 employees shows unvaccinated people who have had COVID-19 have had no COVID-19 difference in reinfection rate than those who had COVID-19 and took the vaccine. And again, Bruner pointing out that basically, are we going to go through this again? I got to tell you, I've already heard from many and say they can forget it. But the problem is, what if they start seeing efforts again to close down various businesses again? And those of you who live in St. Louis County, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If they're going to step up and start saying you are going to have to shut your business if you're not going to comply, and again, believe that all these mask, which supposedly the COVID virus is so small, it goes through anyway. Dr. Fake admitted that at one time. And, of course, giving shots to people who are not at risk, like children. Thank you, John Bruner, for bringing that to our attention again. But as I said, a group of epidemiologists said, there's no reason to order hospitals and hospital employees to put on COVID masks. I know someone said, well, they wear a mask in an operating room. You know why they do that? So if blood or anything else, a fluid, body fluid spills or splashes out, it's not going to get in their face. That's why. And those are full plastic shields nowadays. They're not just normal little masks. You want to go around the full shield? Of course, that's the best idea. Let's do that. No. Let's go back to Bubble Boy. All right, so we know the other day that Wagner Group warlord Prigozhin, his plane went down. And immediately there are questions. Was it really him? And was Putin behind it? Russia's aviation authority has said Prigozhin was aboard the downed private plane. Now, many folks, and I raised it too the other day, was he really? Now they're claiming, and I happen to take the report as it comes. I have no independent verification one way or the other. They are claiming, yes, he was on board. We found enough DNA to verify it was him. Yeah, I assume that's right, but I don't just simply hook, line, and sinker, do you? And also, the Kremlin's denying, Putin in particular, saying, we had nothing to do with murdering him. It's absolute lies. Now, this plane, this jet that Prigozhin had, apparently belonged to him. And there were legitimate concerns. Now, I'll tell you, as a pilot, if you don't keep a plane constantly flying and checked, you will have problems develop. Seals will begin to dry up, and things can happen. And, of course, if you don't have routine maintenance and inspection, even if it doesn't fly, things can go wrong. But I'm looking at all the reports here. And I'm trying to see anything that suggests other than the fact of two things. All the witnesses, report hearing an explosion in the sky. That's what drew their attention to the sky. The plane at that time was around 20,000 feet high or higher. And it just suddenly, in a catastrophic event, disappeared off the radar screen. No chance to radio Mayday, nothing else. That does suggest, again, a catastrophic event that involved the cockpit and the communications. But again, when questioned about it, the spokesman for the Kremlin said the accusations and many others like it were false. This is now a great deal of speculation surrounding the crash, the tragic death of the plane's passengers. But all of it's an absolute lie. It's necessary to have yourself on facts. Yeah, I'm sure the Russians are very clear about getting facts, as did Dr. Fake when it came to believing the science. Do you remember? Of course you do. All right, well, let me turn the page. Let's go back to the disaster in Hawaii.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Meanwhile, accusations of evidence tampering in the Maui fire investigation, as nearly 300 people are still missing in Lahaina. The Washington Post is reporting that Hawaiian Electric is being accused of hauling away fallen power lines, transformers, and other equipment before investigators could get there.
Hawaiian Electric is not doing themselves any favors in casting themselves in the role of the villain. There are questions here about Hawaiian Electric, like why was their electricity continuing to flow to Lahaina throughout that day? Electricity was lost, power was lost somewhere around 6 a.m. It came back on at various times. There's been surveys of the electrical grid that day, Sandra, and it looks like, you know, there's a revelation of pops or outages right when the first fire broke out early in the morning at 6 a.m. And there's video, as you know, and I think most people watching have seen the video of a downed power line sparking into dry grass. I can tell you that those power lines often with Hawaiian Electric were old, rickety wood power lines, and there was 80-mile-an-hour winds that day. They were also on notice. There was a big fire in 2018, and since that time, I mean, the power lines weren't put underground. They weren't really upgraded to big, you know, reinforced steel structures. So you had a catastrophe waiting to happen. And then to know that after the fact, according to the Washington Post, they already removed some downed poles and lines from the suspected start of the fire sure makes you look guilty.
Now, that was a reporter responding to some of the latest information coming out of Maui. The Hawaiian Electric Power Company is under increasing scrutiny on a number of reasons. One, these, as you heard him say, there had been a prior incident back in the late 2018, around that point, of another fire, and they realized, you know, this could be vulnerable. And the general consensus is, when you have a wildfire racing through an area where you have power lines, it's best to shut off the power. Because if the poles come down, or the lines catch fire and come down, they're electrified. And so if they fall into an area that might catch fire, well, you got another fire. In addition to the winds pushing at 80 miles an hour plus and carrying embers 2, 3, 4 miles farther ahead, that's why firefighters were having a hard time keeping up. But there's so much more behind it. The latest death count that they have verified, 115. And I think the count's probably going to be much more than that. On the plus side, there were about 100 reported missing. They have now been found alive and either okay or in hospitals. So they're not dead. Some might be before it's over with, but they're not now. In addition to the power lines not being shut down properly, there seemed to be mass confusion. Motorists who escaped or others walking along to get away from the area were seeing cars jammed up, all trying to go in one direction, get away from the flames coming from behind them. And they encountered a roadblock. The roadblock set up because power crews were trying to take care of a downed power line. Well, now that, granted, is a danger. You don't go out and step on it. I've been at the scene of enough disasters to know, watch where you step. Don't get in any pool of water. If you're in a car, you could often, I'm not going to say for sure, depends on the circumstance, often you can just drive right through and keep going. But a roadblock was setting up in an evacuation route for people to leave. There are very few roads that were available, and they were all on this road trying to go forward. They were being turned around and sent back into the flames of the fire. Now imagine you've got your family on board your car. Your children are frightened to death. Smoke is everywhere. You can't see, barely breathe. You can have all the air conditioning shut off, no outside air coming in, and it's still bad. The smart ones abandoned their cars finally and made their way to the ocean if they could. Others, you have to bear with me here because it's going to be pretty hard to hear. Others were afraid to get out or waited too late. They might have died of smoke inhalation. They might have boiled to death inside their cars. Think about that. Can't get out of your car. You waited too late. Your kids are crying. You're praying like crazy. What do I do to get my kids out of here? At least get my kids out. And your options are slim and none. So they got to look at how the power lines were. The power company is insisting, well, we had to keep power going because we got people living on respirators, emergency equipment. Every one of those places that had an emergency situation like a hospital or someone had a respirator in their home, they should have had backup power, period. Because you never know when the power is going to go out. But that's the fallback for the Hawaiian Electric Power Company so far. And since the fires broke out at numerous places, that suggests an arson, more than one. It suggests power lines falling in different locations. It suggests embers being picked up and carried to a new location. The bottom line all this leads to is at least 115 confirmed dead. And as I said, the number is no doubt going to be higher than that. The investigation will go on for some time. Maui never be the same. Remember, there had been, we told you about this the other day. There had been talk that maybe this was started by radiation beams sent from space or something. Conspiracy theories are everywhere. I'm not going to go through those again, but we know they're out there. I've covered them some. We'll probably revisit. And then, of course, we also have the fact there was no preparation. When you're on an island and you don't have preparation for a major fire, not good. Coming up in the second hour, more on the allegations linking the Bidens and the Biden, Hunter, and Joe, and Mark McCloskey from McCloskey on Fire. Remember our pledge, one nation under God,